This is Jean McMillan interviewing Stuyvesant K. Burns at his office on 12 Porter Street, Lakeville, Connecticut, the office of Shipman and Goodwin. He's going to talk about coming to the area, being a lawyer in this area, and stories about Cam Beckett. The date is September 25th, 2012. I'm going to start with basic genealogical information. Just hold it and we'll talk. What is your name?
My name is Stuyvesant K. Burns.
And your birth date, please?
September 7th, 1937.
And your birthplace?
I was born in Washington, D.C.
And what is your parents' names?
My father was Melville H. Burns, Jr., and my mother was Julie Gordon Stuyvesant Keith before she was married, and then she was Julie Keith Burns.
How do you spell Keith?
K-E-I-T-H.
Thank you. Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have one brother, Melville, who's 5 years older than I am.
Educational background?
Kent School, 55, Yale University, 59, 3 years in the Marine Corps, University of Virginia Law School, 65, with an LLB.
How did you come to this area?
Good question. I was looking for some way to get out of New York City because it was proving to be somewhat oppressive. And by a very curious set of circumstances, I got Cam Beckett's name as an attorney in Lakeville who might be looking for help. I wrote him a letter, and I didn't hear anything for quite a while. And then one night about 11 o'clock when I was sound asleep in the apartment in New York, the phone rang and it was Cam. And I accepted his invitation to come up and talk to him. And I went to work for him on a trial basis late October 73. And then I came up here full time to work with him in January of 74.
Who were some of the lawyers that were working in this area in the 70s?
Well, Cam was in practice next to, though not in partnership, with Tom Wagner. Other lawyers in the area were Don Warner, practicing solo in Sharon, Catherine Rohrbach, practicing solo in Canaan, Jake Rand, practicing solo in Salisbury. I think that was about it for the immediate area.
Okay.
They were all solo practitioners. Oh, Bill Ford was practicing in Salisbury, too. I like Bill.
Where was Mr. Beckett's law office at the time you came here?
It was where Robin Leach's real estate office now is.
And I think that's 308 Main Street.
I'll take your word for it.
There was a merger in 1980?
Well, there was activity before that. I think it was 1975, Cam Beckett and I and Bill Ford and Frank Dooley formed a firm called Beckett, Ford, Dooley and Burns. There were four of us. And we moved into this building at 12 Porter Street, which Bill Ford owned.
Was this the original building on the site? Do you
know? I'm understanding that this was the town garage.
I have been told it was the town garage before.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bill Ford owned it?
Bill Ford owned the building.
Okay. When you came here, was Mr. Beckett easing out of the lawyer business? Was he still fully active? What was his presence?
He was still, I would say, as fully active as he could be, but he recognized that he needed some help. He was 74. And very frankly, his attention span was dropping.
It happens to a lot of us.
It does indeed.
Now, I'm going to ask you to tell me three stories about Mr. Beckett, and we'll start off with driving his wife to New York City.
I clearly have these stories only by hearsay. I did not in any way participate in them, see them, or even hear about them soon after the occurrences. But the story of the drive to New York City, if it's not apocryphal, goes like this. Cam was in a hurry to get to New York for some reason, and he thought Elise, his wife, was in the back seat, and he headed off, and he got to Hawthorne Circle, which is no longer a circle, but it was in those days, and he had been talking to her the whole way, as he was wont to do, and then he turned around and realized she was not in the car. That's the story.
That's the story. And the second one is about an automobile robbery that didn't happen.
Oh, right. We had a secretary working for us named Dorothy Massey. Actually, she was doing paralegal work for us in the estate field. And she had a four-door, pale yellow American car of some type. Cam had a similar car, about the same color. And one day, Dorothy had gone down to town hall to do some work in the land records, and I got this highly agitated phone call from her that her car had just been stolen, and call the police, do something, get my car back. And as I was talking to her, my office was then on the back of this building, I looked out and I saw Dorothy's car come rolling in with Cam behind the wheel. And what had happened was Cam had left the town hall himself and gotten in the wrong car. I guess other people have the same experience I do, where you forget where you left your car. And so I said to Dorothy, Dorothy, don't worry, just go out on the street and see if you see Cam's car, and if so, get in it and drive back. Well, that didn't help a bit. She was very flustered, and what is this all about? Get my car back, blah, blah, blah. And I said, just do what I told you. And she went out and got in Cam's car and came back.
That's a wonderful story. Then there's the story about the hot tea, hot day with the iced tea.
Oh, well, this is not really a story. It's just an example. Cam had a generous streak. He really did. And we were standing outside what was then the Lakeville Filling Station, which is now Davy Jones Repair Shop, Lakeville Automotive. And it was hotter than blazes. And Cam had this big mug of iced tea in his hand, which he was sipping at. And along came some bedraggled hitchhiker, and in typical fashion, Cam struck up a conversation with him, and then he took a long look at the guy and passed him his mug of iced tea and waved him on his way.
Which is a wonderful random act of kindness.
It was. Commit random acts of kindness.
As often as possible. Now, when I was clearing this with his son Peter, he said, now make sure that you have in the interview about my father being able to walk on his hands. Is this something that you personally had ever seen?
Oh, yes. When I first got here, Cam still could go along the flat on his hands. I'm not sure he could still go upstairs, though I think he could, and I definitely saw him walk downstairs on his hands. And there is a funny story about that. Did I tell you the one about Al Borden?
No, you didn't tell me that one.
But it's very good. Back in the days when the bank used to be up where the insurance agency is now, Founders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It seems that Al Borden had arranged for some very wealthy client to come up here and look at a property. And the story, again, I don't know whether it's apocryphal, goes like this. The woman was in a limousine, apparently, with a chauffeur, a uniformed chauffeur, and was driving past the bank when Cam came out of the bank walking on his hands with a small crowd, apparently. And the woman saw this and is reputed to have turned to the driver and said, "Turn around and go back. I'm not living in a town full of drunks."
Oh, my word.
Which was pretty funny because Cam was a teetotaler all his life.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
What he didn't want to do was go to Cam's and ask him for a gin and tonic because he had no awareness of the proportions. You were likely to get 2 ounces of tonic in a glass filled up with gin.
In some cases, that wouldn't be all bad.
Anyway, those are my stories.
Well, Peter would tell a story of when he was growing up. His father would walk down the stairs and the change would fall out of his pockets and the children would rush to pick up the change.
Well, that's probably happened too.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add about the law business that you're in? What kind of law do you do?
I do what's called trust and estate work, which is essentially the writing of wills for people and trust agreements. To a lesser degree now and to a greater degree in years past, it used to involve legitimate planning to avoid death taxes, federal estate tax, and in those days it was Connecticut inheritance tax. The exemption was very low when I started practice. It was only $60,000, and above that, a federal estate tax cut in. There was no unlimited marital deduction, and the tax was really confiscatory, and it impacted people. It was never meant to impact school teachers and people like that. So I used to do a lot of estate tax avoidance in the legal and legitimate sense. That is less important now because the federal exemption has risen to $5 million, and the Connecticut exemption is $2 million, and you have to be pretty well off to be bothered by those taxes.
That's not going to affect me at all.
I don't think it's ever going to affect me. Anyway, the practice also involves, obviously, settling people's estates when they die and administering trusts. It also involves things like conservatorships. I don't do adoptions. Never did. But that's what the practice has been. When I first came here, as I think you might have noticed, it was entirely solo practitioners.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Beckett Ford Dooley and Bairns was the first multi-lawyer partnership in the Northwest Corner.
Are there more of those multi-lawyer partnerships
well,
now?
Well, Donnie Warner soon followed up by hiring Charlie Vail and Louise Brown, so he became Warner Vail and Brown. Now, of course, Drury and Pates and Kanan.
Most of them have developed a partnership, if not more.
Yeah, but there are still solo practitioners.
Is it because of the diversity of the law, or is it because of the increased amount of work?
Well, the work has increased as the population has grown. The area has gotten wealthier. Mm-hmm. It was largely a rural and retirement area when I got here. The second home boom didn't start until just about 1979.
Mm-hmm. That conforms with what Robinson Leach has said.
Yeah. Well, there was a strange article written in New York Magazine captioned, "Forget the Hamptons, now it's country chic." And Salisbury is one of the places featured in that. And it wasn't long after that article appeared when people started trooping up the road and buying properties for second homes.
And I imagine 9/11 also had an impact.
Well, not as much as you might expect. I mean, people did not flood up here out of fear. I think a few people came up here and bought places, but it was no great immigration or influx of second homes.
It just seems to have been a steady line of people.
Yeah, it's a lovely place to live.
It is a lovely place to live. We both know that.
That's how I came up here. I came up here as a weekender in southern Berkshire County.
Well,
I built a little house up there, and it's from there that I heard about Cam Beckett and got in touch with him. So I, too, am part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so was Jeff Drury and Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
Same
right.
Idea.
Yeah.
Same idea. Are you involved in any civic activities in your leisure time?
Not as much as I used to be. I was active in the local mental health clinic as a trustee or director, I forget which, for many years. I was very active in Trinity Church in various roles for quite a while. But I've tapered off.
We all do.
Yes.
We all do.
It's called paying your dues.
Yes. And well worth it.
It is indeed.
Is there anything that you'd like to add that I haven't covered about your business, Cam Beckett?
Only that, having been here since 1974, I feel very lucky and very grateful.
And what a wonderful way to end an interview.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.